Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Thank you. cries out into the last song, Amazing Grace. Let's sing that out.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind,
verse one more time. And I want to encourage you to take just a moment to stop and reflect on a few things. First of all, yesterday in this room, we celebrated the life of Richard Cole. Richard served as a deacon here for multiple decades. He was well known and beloved in our community and way beyond. And he honored the Lord with his life, made a difference in sharing the gospel with people. And as we had a packed room of people to come and celebrate his life, I want you to know when he entered the presence of the Lord on Tuesday, it is now Sunday, so it's not even been a week, just a little over 5 days. And he's 5 days into his first 10,000 years. And can you imagine? I imagine if it's allowed, and I'm sure it is, he's already found a banjo. He plays the banjo, a lot of you know that, or a guitar, and he's worshiping the Lord in that way, singing and praising him. I think about people in your life. It was this past week, 3 years ago, was the day that my mother passed away. And I think about being there that night with her, watching as she breathed her last breath and went from being on this earth to immediately with the Lord. And she's 3 years into her 10,000 days, 10,000 years of starting. And there's no less days than when they started. And you've got family members and friends. Would you take a second? I'm not trying to make an extremely difficult emotional moment for you, but someone who's gone before, who is now with the Lord. And I want you to think about the fact that they have been worshiping him, enjoying him, growing in him in ways that you and I can only begin to imagine and fathom while we're still breathing on this earth. So there's a day coming when all of us who know Jesus will be there. Amen? That day's coming. So I want to ask you to stop, and in honor of those who are already there, and as a reminder for those of us that will go, that we will be able to be with the Lord for all eternity, this time I want to ask you to do something. Now you may say, music's not my thing. I don't care. Praising Jesus is your thing. So as loud as you can do it, let's raise the volume and the roof on this building as we sing this last verse. Give it all you've got, every one of us. We know it. Close your eyes. Lift your voice as we sing.
When we
come on,
been there 10,000 years.
That's beautiful.
Bright shining as the sun. We know less days to sing God's praise.
Heaven is populated with saints who have gone before, who are praising you in new and glorious ways. They are singing new songs to you, Father. They're singing in perfection and holiness. And Father, we're giving it our feeble best attempt while we're still walking in imperfection. But we're thankful for your grace and for your mercy. We're thankful for the fact that we have to be able to sing praise. And Lord, to stop and think that just for a moment, in some way, we are joining the mighty chorus of heaven. And together we are lifting up praise for who you are. You alone are worthy. You are King of kings and Lord of lords. With your heads bowed, friends, would you in a loud voice, who is God to you today? Just shout out some of the names of God. Let's hear those together this morning. Who is he?
He's our Father.
God with us.
Who is he for you today? Who is he today? You are the grace giver. You are life sustainer. You are the breath giver. You are the mercy giver. You are the great deliverer. You deliver us from our own sin. You deliver us from the bondage of the evil one. You deliver us from dark days, and you deliver us from difficult days. You deliver us from future events to come. God, you are the deliverer, and you are the redeemer, and you are the giver. You provide new life for us. Oh, Lord, we celebrate that together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sit down if you can, okay, for just a second. Listen, we're glad you're here to worship today. If you're a guest online, we're so glad you're here. Take out your phone, type the word or text the word welcome to 256-322-6100. It's on the screen. Follow those prompts. We'd like to know that you're worshiping with us. If you're in the room, fill out one of those guest registrations attached to the worship guide, please. If you're a first-time guest, please don't fill out that deacon ballot, okay? That's for our members, and we would like for them to fill that out for us. But we'll ask you, if you will, to fill out the registration. We've got a gift we want to send you, and we'd love to send it to you, so please fill that out to let us know that you are with us today. Today we pray for, every week we pray for a different church for 7 days. Our church of the week starting today is Brasher's Chapel Church here in Albertville. We love Brasher's Chapel. We appreciate their church. They have a pastor who is new to them. Mike Williamson is their new pastor, but he was the student pastor. He's not new to the church. He's been there a long time. But let's pray for them and their ministry, for God to use them in power. And then our missionaries of the week are Ivan and Melissa Makulu. They serve in Uganda, and we're thankful for their church they pastor. We're thankful for the church planting network that they lead. We're thankful for the children's home that they run. We're thankful for the baby home that they organize. They have their hand in all kinds of gospel ministry there. So pray for them. Pray that God would be their provider. He is such a great provider. Let me mention really quickly before I do pray that you'll see the ballot in your worship guide that you received. If you didn't get a worship guide on the way in, but you're an official member of the church, we need you to vote today. On the ends of the pew on the left side, on your left, there are some extra ballots. Someone can pass them down for you. Just motion that you need one and they'll pass it down for you. We are voting and selecting up to 8 men to serve as deacons for the next 3-year term. We have 24 at a time. And so they rotate 8 a year come on and 8 a year come off. And so we're thankful for those who have faithfully served. We will select 8 from that list of 16 today. So I encourage you to go ahead and to take time to fill that out at some point. If you will. The last two things technically lead to the end of the service. When we're officially in business now because we carried over from the early service, but we'll hear a motion from the personnel team to add the staff position of associate pastor / director of missions, and we'll hear a motion from the budget, the finance team to approve our coming year's budget. We're so thankful. Here's the amazing thing, even with the new budget, to know if we have a normal offering today, this is the final Sunday of our budget year. It starts again September 1st. If we have a normal offering today, we will be within 3% of the proposed budget, not of last year's budget. We're over that of the proposed budget in giving. And so we trust that God's already providing for what we can do for ministry in the future and what he's calling us to. And so we're thankful and we celebrate that. Now, with that out of the way, if you're a guest, you just leave that in your seat or just hold on to that. But others will ask you to fill it out here in a little bit and turn it in the box as you leave. But we want to take just a moment now to pray. And as we do, we're about to sing a song that is new to the, it's new. It's been out on the radio maybe 2.5 to 3 months. Worship choirs and churches have been singing it for just a few months now, and we're adding it today. And the song has a very interesting line in it that some people are struggling to figure out what in the world that could possibly mean. It says, there's honey in the rock. And that phrase, honey in the rock, is a phrase about God's provision. Today, we will open the Bible and we will find it in Psalm 81. And we're going to read the messages about that verse today and how God is our provider. But it points to Deuteronomy chapter 32, which is where Moses is singing a song. And he speaks of how God is our provider and how he provides honey from the rock. So we get this beautiful Old Testament look from Deuteronomy and the Psalms. But here's what the chorus says. It says, there's honey in the rock. God gives you something good in the midst of his provision. There's water from a stone. In other words, he provides for us. There's manna on the ground. No matter where I go, I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need. He's got, there's honey in the rock. If you know it, sing out with us. If you don't, you'll learn it quick enough. It's become my favorite worship song this season. But as we pray, I want to pray about God's provision. So would you bow with me for just a moment? Think about God as your provider. Think for just a moment about how he has provided for you. Did you come here in a vehicle today? God is your provider. Did you walk here today and you had the ability and strength to do it? God is your provider. Did you just take a breath? You didn't breathe in until God breathed out, okay? God is your provider. Do you have clothes to wear today? God is your provider. Did you have food available to you this morning? God is your provider. Have you received his grace and mercy today? God is your provider. And so, Father, we ask you to provide for Brasher's Chapel. Move in power there. Bring revival to that place. We ask you to provide for Ivan and Melissa Mukulu and all the people that work with them, their staff. It's many people who take care of those children, those babies, the church plants, the church, all the things. Use them in power. Be their provider. Father, we pray for us right here in this room. Hundreds of people gathered together. Would you be our provider? Father, allow us opportunities to experience your grace, to share your grace, to show your grace to others. And Father, we're thankful that there is honey in the rock, that there is water available from a stone. There is manna on the ground. You have never failed us yet. So we sing about you and to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. So Don's going to teach it to us. Let's stand together. If you don't know it, it's a crowd participation time. He'll teach it. If you know it, though, sing out. We'll learn it together.
Sing this chorus together. There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need you got. There's honey in the rock. Let's sing that out. There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need you got. There's honey in the rock. See this out, praying.
Pray for a miracle, thirsty for the living word. Only you can satisfy. Sweetness at the mercy seat. Now I've tasted, it's not hard to see. Only you can satisfy. There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock.
Well, freedom where the spirit is. Bounty in the wilderness. You will always satisfy. Yeah, there's honey in the rock. Water in the stone.
Available today.
Oh, how sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus. Sing that. Oh, how sweet it is to trust in you. Once more. Oh, how sweet it is to trust in you.
God, we trust you. Would you speak to us as we learn about this honey in the rock? In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated if you will. If you have a Bible, turn to Psalm 81. If you want to use your phone, a tablet, your Bible, it'll be on the screen as well, Psalm 81. And while you're turning, let me say this, that we will begin a brand new message series next Sunday. It will be a 6 or 7 week series for, now last time I told you it was an 8 week series and it lasted 21 weeks. This is really going to be 6 or 7 weeks, I promise, and it's called Bedtime Bible Stories Revisited. We're going to take a look at a number of the stories in the Bible, the truthful stories in the Bible that you learn as a child. And then we tend to not talk about them much as adults, except to our children. And so there is so much content that we as adults can take and use that we miss sometimes in the simplicity of it when we teach it in children's Sunday school. So we're going to take the time to look at some of those. I don't think we'll have a single story you don't know, but I hope in power we will see how we can apply them to our lives. So join us starting next weekend. But for today, a standalone message from Psalm 81. Worship choirs, worship leaders, worship ministries have been an important part of God's people and God's children for thousands of years. Psalm 81 was written by Asaph. Asaph was appointed by King David to be a worship leader. He was set aside to help lead worship for the people of Israel. He wrote 12 of the Psalms we have in the Bible, 12 songs that we get to sing. And he teaches a powerful lesson in Psalm 81. And so when you look at Psalm 81, even before verse 1 in your Bible, it gives you a description. That description was found in the original text. This is not a description that some man said, I'm going to add this so people will know what this is. This was in the original text along with the verses. It says this, to the choir master, so we know it's a song, to the choir master, according to the Gittith of Asaph. So Asaph wrote a song, and it's been given for the choirs to sing for the people of Israel to learn. Now listen, I've only got one joke today, and it's corny, and here it is. We don't know what Gittith means. We know that Gittith was a musical term. I assume it means have some pep in your step, because it's saying Gittith after it, okay, as you do. That's the best I got today. I'm sorry. Hope it was worth the price to get in. So we don't really know. We know it's a musical term, though. And so he says, I want you to sing this and make music with this. So what is this? Psalm 81. Look at it together. Beginning in verse 1. Sing aloud to God our strength. Shout for joy to the God of Jacob. Raise a song. Sound the tambourine, the sweet lyre with the harp. Blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon on our feast day. So what in the world is he saying here? These three verses give us two great truths for us as God's people. Here they are. Number one, worship involves humility and engagement. And number two, worship involves celebration. Let me explain. When he says right here, sing aloud to God, when you are going to shout to God, when you're going to shout for joy, when you are going to raise a song, you have to empty yourself of pride to do so. Why? Because if there's pride in your life, you won't shout a song. You won't shout for joy. Pride says, don't sing. Pride says, if I show expression when I sing, that's going to show a sign of weakness, or I'm going to be at least embarrassed if somebody sees me. So pride says, just don't do it. Pride says your mind is all you need to worship, so just hum it in your mind, but don't move your lips. Well, here's the reality. What we see in the Psalms and other places in Scripture is that worship involves your mind, your mouth, and your body. It involves all of you, your heart. So I want to encourage you, don't let pride keep you from worshiping God. Take time to understand that worship involves humility and it involves engagement, getting involved in what's happening. Now look at verse 3. It says, blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon, on our feast day. I love our horn section. They sounded really good today. I love to hear these guys play. It's scriptural. That when it talks about a trumpet here, it really means a shofar. It's part of a horn that would make a very distinct sound. It says to blow it as part of the festival or feast day. This is speaking of the Passover feast and of the Feast of Tabernacles. There were a few different feasts in the Old Testament, special set aside, where you would use it to honor the Lord in a specific way. So God told them to gather together, to gather, to rejoice, to honor, remember, and celebrate. Gather, rejoice, honor, remember, and celebrate. Now listen, here's a secret. That's what we're here to do today. That's what you and I are called here to do today. To gather, to rejoice, to honor, to remember, and to celebrate. Worship involves celebration. So I want to encourage you every day, take time to do three things. Here they are. Number one, take time every day to remember what God has already done. Take time every day to acknowledge what He is doing now. Take time every day to thank Him for what He is going to do. Listen, that is worship. Remember what He did for you already and thank Him for it. What did He do for you last week? Would everybody take just a second? Let's do it right now. In your mind, go back. If you're following Jesus, if you know Jesus, go back to the day you gave your life to Jesus. Go back to the day you were saved. If you can do that in your mind, now thank Him for that. What a special thing. Maybe go back just a few short weeks or months to where you were in a moment and God provided in a big way and you saw His grace at work. Go back to that for just a moment and remember what He did. Now take a moment, if you would, and think about what He is doing right now. What is God doing in your life in this season, this month? What is He up to? There's purpose in His plan. There's power in His hand. There is power in what He is doing. He is at work. So what is He doing in this season of your life right now? I think about, as a faith family, what God is doing in this season of our church right now. And how He continues to equip us to be His hands and feet in our community and around the world, to be the people He's called us to be. What's He doing now? And then thank Him for what He is going to do. We rejoice for the future. You've been praying a bold prayer for something. Thank Him in advance for what He's going to do. You know He's going to continue to save men and women and draw people to Himself. Thank Him in advance for what He is going to do. How God has brought people to be a part of our faith family. Someone is the next one to come. Thank Him in advance for that and what He is doing. That is part of what worship is. Now look at verse 4. It says, "For it is a statute for Israel, a rule of the God of Jacob." So what does that mean? In the Old Testament, they had rules that they had to obey these certain festivals. It was commanded by law to do so. In the New Testament, Paul says, as Jesus becomes the fulfillment of the law, the actual festival is not as important as what the festival represented. Let me show you where Paul says that. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, Paul speaks and says, "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in question of food or drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Jesus Christ." He's saying those things just really were designed to point to Jesus. So focus on that. Romans 14, verse 5 and 6 says, "One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gave thanks to God. While the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God." So the goal of the Old Testament laws that required the festivals were designed to point forward to who was going to fulfill the law, Jesus. So once Jesus comes and fulfills the law, it's not that we have to obey every one of these festivals or feasts. It's that we still must take what they represented and what they were and live that out in our worship every day. So what is that? Well, the point of all those things was to gather, remember, and celebrate. Everyone, look at the Old Testament festivals. They gathered, they remembered, they celebrate. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us what we're to do. Don't miss this. Hebrews 10, 24, Paul again. "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." That's what God's called us to do in here. Did you know that our calling in this room, our calling in the Sunday school small groups, our calling in our discipleship groups, our calling for the students on Wednesday nights, our calling for children back in our children's department is to stir one another up in love and to good works. It says, "not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So what does that mean? Here's the simple way to say it. Our call is to worship together. That's our call, to worship together, to meet together. You realize you can worship God anywhere, right? In your home, as you lay down to go to sleep, when you wake up, in your car, out on the lawnmower, walking on the track. I hear people say it. I like to worship God out in nature while I'm on my bass boat, so I don't go to church, but I worship him out there. You can worship him there. Why? Because he's there. You can worship God anywhere. You can worship him from a prison cell, but I don't advise it. You can worship him from anywhere. So why do we gather and why does it matter? I love how Matthew Henry says it, the commentator. Listen to what he said. It's great. He says, no time is amiss for praising God. In other words, you can always praise God. But some times are appointed. Now, don't miss this. Not for God to meet us, he is always ready, but for us to meet one another that we may join together in praising God. Don't miss that. The reason we gather is not so we can meet God. You can meet God anywhere, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. The reason we gather is we have been appointed to gather together so that together we can stir one another up, love one another, encourage one another, pray together, and corporate worship adds a whole different level. So if you're here today, congratulations. You are living out what I believe God would say we're to learn about from all those festivals. You're worshiping with others. If you know someone who may be over, maybe even since COVID started, that they've just lost their desire to be in church and they've just stopped attending or not attending very regularly, friends, I want to encourage you. You need to be the one to ask them, say, hey, will you be with me next week? Encourage them to do that. Listen, they might just take an invitation from you. It's not about filling the room up with them. It is truthfully about the fact that what God's called us to is to gather together. It's a calling of God. Now, I'm so thankful we have the live stream for those who are unable through health reasons, through sickness, through work, and other things at camp. And we're thankful that they're doing the best they can from a distance to gather with us. But when possible, believers are called to gather together. It is what God's word says. So let's stir one another up to that. And for you, if you struggle with that priority, here's what I want to encourage you to do. If you want to live out what we see in Psalm 81, you want to live out what we read in Hebrews, schedule on your calendar according to this priority. Schedule worship. If you got to work, I understand. If you're taking a vacation, I get that. I encourage you to. But when available, when you possibly can, make every opportunity to gather with other believers. There's so much to benefit from gathering with other believers. Let's keep going in Psalm 81, verse 5. He says, he made it a decree in Joseph when he went out over the land of Egypt. I hear a language I had not known. So what does that mean? You stop and think that he's saying that God decreed that they would worship, that they would celebrate, that they would gather. As they were in bondage in Egypt, God began to call out to them, a voice crying in the wilderness. We see Moses showed up. We see that allude to Jesus in the New Testament. We see that they began to praise him in different ways. In verse 6, I relieved your shoulder of the burden. Your hands were freed from the basket. That refers to the idea of the burden of being in bondage as Israelite slaves. They would place their bricks in baskets, and they would take and have to move those from one spot to another. And so he's saying, I relieved the burden of your shoulder, and your hands were freed from the basket. And then he says in verse 7, in distress you called, God says, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah, Selah. So what does that mean? God's saying, I delivered you from bondage in Egypt. I spoke to you from the secret place of thunder. Where is that? That's Mount Sinai. He's saying, I spoke to you a couple of times from Mount Sinai, from the secret place of thunder, and I gave you commandments, I gave you laws, I gave you a desire, I gave you a leader, and I set you out. In other words, he says, I was your provider. And then he says, I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Now, what does that mean, the waters of Meribah? It was the waters of Meribah where Moses took his staff at God's direction and struck a stone, and water flowed from it. You just sang about it. There's honey in the rock. There's water from a stone. It's God's provision that came to provide nourishment and drink for the people of Israel. But what you may not realize is God did not do that once. He did it twice in the Old Testament. It happens at Meribah Messah at the beginning of the 40-year wandering in the desert, and it happens at Meribah Kadesh at the end of the 40-year wandering in the desert. Both times, Moses is involved. Both times, the rock gets struck. One time, God told him to speak and not strike. He struck anyway, and then he lost his chance to go to the promised land. Now, here's a sidebar for a moment. Moses did what God told him to do. He helped make a way so that God could provide water for all the people. But he didn't do it the way God said. Friends, can I encourage you, do what God tells you to do when he tells you to do it with the right attitude at the right time. Now, that's important. Well, I mean, because sometimes I'll say, God, I'll do what you say, but I've got a better idea of how to do it. Have you ever done that? You don't have a better idea. I don't have a better idea. So if God says it, follow his plan. Don't say, well, God, I know this scripture says we're to live this way, but I really think that you love us. You're showing grace. So you really would let me do it this way. No, listen, God's got a better plan. Follow his plan. Punishment came from Moses because he didn't follow God's plan. So we see that God provided, but I want you to think about the provision for a minute. How big of a deal this was, what God did. So we picture Moses is standing there and people are grumbling and complaining at Meribah. And as they complain at Meribah Massah, they're saying, we're so thirsty. We have nothing to drink and God has brought us here. What are we going to do? So Moses prays and God says, strike the rock. And so Moses takes his staff and he strikes the rock. And out, this is what we picture in our minds, out, trickle, 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 comes water. And I almost picture thousands of years earlier, someone starts singing, there's honey in the rock, water in the stone. And all, you know, that's not how it happened. He strikes the rock, and I want you to picture how much water came out. The gushing amount of water that would spew forth to allow at a minimum 600,000 Israelites to drink from it. We're not talking about some little faucet that gets turned on. We're talking about some large stone that is hit and out flows this gushing water that provides a river of clean water that hundreds of thousands of people escaping bondage are able to drink from. That is a God who provides. That is the same provider who works in your life and mine. And right here in Psalm 81, Asaph writes these words to remind us that God is our provider. Let's keep going. Verse 8. He says, hear, O my people, while I admonish you. O Israel, if you would but listen to me, there shall be no strange god among you. You shall not bow down to a foreign god. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsels. To me, one of the saddest verses in the Bible is one of the most convicting verses in the Bible. And it's right here where God says, they wouldn't listen to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts. How many times in my own life has God directed me through his word? Has God directed me through the Holy Spirit? Has God directed me through warning signs? How many times has God directed me by good, well-meaning people that I simply say, I'm not listening right now? And because of that, it's as if God says, I'm going to let you then be given over to your own stubborn heart. You'll get what you want for a little bit. But I'll use this to draw you back to me. You see, sometimes God allows us to walk the way we want to walk, to teach us a lesson so that we can realize how much we need to repent and come back to him. In fact, it's an act of grace when God lets us go to our own devices for a season because he wants us to be back in right relationship with him. So if you find yourself disobeying God in some way that you know the Bible says this is right, but you keep doing this anyway, and you say, well, nothing bad has happened yet, so maybe I'm the one exception to God's eternal rule, and he's really okay with me doing this, so I'm going to keep doing it. Listen, friends, you've missed the point. God, in his graciousness, has already begun a series of events, a plan, his purpose in his plan, that will lead at some point you to a place where you will need to repent and come back. So the best thing we can do is to realize that in advance. It is not that we're getting away with something for the rest of our lives. It's that God does have a plan to draw us back to him. It is an act of grace sometimes to leave you to your own devices, but it is also an act of grace when it falls apart someday, and that day's coming. So the best thing you and I can do is to realize up front, this is what God's word says. This is what I have been doing. These are my feelings. This is what God says. I will follow God and not my feelings. But I can't tell you how many times I've messed that up. Maybe you as well. But can I encourage you to be drawn back to him? Because I want to say something right now. It's going to sound harsh. And I don't mean it to be eerie or scary, but I mean it to warn you. And I mean this with all my heart. Everyone listening online, listening on the radio as well. Every seed you sow will reap a harvest. Every seed we sow will reap a harvest. And so it's important that if we've been sowing seeds that are not honoring to the Lord, let's stop and begin to sow seeds that honor him. It is a gracious act of love that he provides a way back to him. The next few verses talk about it. Look what he says next in verse 13. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe toward him, and their fate would last forever. So what's he saying? God's saying, I want them to return to me. I want them to be in my will. I want to provide for them. God wants you and me to listen to his word. God wants us to walk in his grace. God wants us to live in his will. That's what he desires for you and me. This is a gracious way that he has provided for us. But then in the last verse, God does something very different. He's been speaking in third person to them, the people of Israel, and he now begins to speak in second person, specifically to individuals in Israel, to individuals, I believe even us today, we can apply it to us. So it goes from them to you. Listen to what he says next in verse 16. He says, but he would feed you with the finest of the wheat and with honey from the rock. I would satisfy you. God says, I would feed you with honey from the rock. I will feed you with the finest of wheat. I'm letting you do your own thing, but if you'll come back to me, I will be your provider. I will feed you with honey from the rock. So what does this mean? Asaph knew what it says in Deuteronomy 32. And in Deuteronomy 32, Moses sings his own song and it gets recorded. And then in verse 13, this is what Moses says. He says, he made him ride on the high places of the land, and he ate the produce of the field, and he suckled him with honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. So Moses speaks of it first. Asaph sings of it later, and then we sing about it today. So what's the meaning? Well, here's the meaning. There are two opposite meanings to this idea of honey from the rock. The first one is found in Deuteronomy 32, the entire chapter. You should never take one verse and just grab it out and try to just let it mean what you want it to. You should always look at it in context. So when you read Deuteronomy 32 in context, you will see that Moses refers to God five times as the rock. He calls him a rock. So what does that mean? When he calls him a rock, he means, God, you are stable. God, you are everlasting. God, you are solid. God, you are strong. You are the rock. And then multiple times in the scripture, God is called the rock. So basic idea here is that God provides for you from his very essence. He is the rock. So cling to the rock for your help and provision. That's what God has called us to do. There is honey in the rock, capital R, rock. Now, the second meaning is found in this verse later on in Deuteronomy 32, verse 13, where he's talking about them moving to the promised land. He is now prophesying about what's to come. And he knows that in the promised land, that there will be milk and honey. But here's the interesting fact that we learned, that there will be wild bees in Canaan that would find rocks, and in the crevice of the rocks they would nest and make their honeycomb, and that it would not be uncommon for people to come along to a place that looks very unproductive, where nothing would grow, a rock in a crevice of a rock, and you could reach in and pull out honey. So it's this beautiful lesson and reminder for us today that even in unproductive places, God can produce blessings for you. Let me say it again. Even in unproductive places, God can produce blessings for you. So what does that look like for you? What does that look like for me? Well, I think the reality of that is this. If you are in a barren place right now, if things are difficult in your life, God can bring honey from the rock. Call to him. If you are in a place of need right now or a place of worry, doesn't seem like much could be produced from that, there's honey in the rock. Call to God and ask him to show you, to move, to provide. If you're in a dark place where you work, There's honey in the rock. Ask God to provide and help you to know how to live in that environment. If you're dealing with a dark situation at home or a need, there's honey in the rock. Ask God to help that person to move, to do what only He can do in that family. If you're in a dark situation at school and there are people around you who just don't know the Lord, ask God to do what only He can do in that moment. There is honey in the rock. He is our provider. So what can we do to live out Psalm 81? Well, it's interesting. In Psalm 81, he ends with this idea that God's the provider. But in Psalm 81, all the way back to verse 1, he starts with the idea of worship. So the most important thing we can do if we want to see God be the provider for the circumstance, provider for the need, provider in the midst of a situation that doesn't look like anything good could come from it, we start with worship. We start by worshiping God to remember what he's already done, what he's doing now, and what he can do. Some of you in this room have become so weary of praying the same prayer for someone that you just have finally convinced yourself that God's not going to do it. And can I say to you today, I just want to say it as real as I can, if you're convinced that God is not going to move in that family member's life, or you're convinced that he's not going to do this or that, I don't know what God's going to do, but I can tell you this, there is still honey in the rock. God still provides in places where you think there's no way a provision could ever come. And so I want to ask you, well, I'm going to use a strong word. If you've given up, you've come weary, I love you, friends. It's time to repent. You need to repent and come back to the place where you say to God, I'm not giving up on you because I'm not going to believe you gave up on whoever. God, I'm not going to give up. I want this person to be transformed by you. I'm asking, please, when it seems like the provision can't come, would you do something? Boldly ask him to do that. Some of us need to get on our knees today and say, God, I'm starting fresh and new with my prayers. It's as if I've never prayed this before. I'm asking you to move in my adult child's life. God, it's as if I've never asked this before. I'm asking you to move in my work, my workmate's life. I'm asking you to move in my classmate's life. I'm asking you to move in my parents' life. I'm asking you to move in my spouse's life. Whatever the case may be, some of us need to start fresh and new because we've just grown weary to even thinking that God's going to change it or provide. Let's just ask him to, again, let's boldly come to him because the psalmist reminded us that there's honey in the rock. The psalmist reminded us that there's water from the stone. There's manna on the ground. All three of those things are impossible. Look it up. I dare one of you to try to go get water from a rock for me today. I dare one of you to ask God to give you some manna on the ground. Now, what's it? Ask him. And if he does, I want some, okay? I don't know what it's going to be for you. My version of manna would be a good Krispy Kreme donut. I'm pretty sure. I haven't had one since April. But if they were to just drop, I would. Never mind. Okay, I'll just. That's another message, but they've just dropped down. I would trust that the Lord said, eat it. But anyway, but maybe for you, though, you're thinking, okay, I can't do that. That's impossible. Right. It's impossible for you, but nothing's impossible for God. So let's not give up on our kids. Let's not give up on our neighbors. Let's not give up on our coworkers. Let's not give up on whatever it is we're praying and asking God to do. We can't make him do anything, but we can ask him to. Maybe today's the day. Maybe today's the day. For others of us, though, maybe it's just to return to worship, to the place where we can come to him in humility. It's to take another posture of worship, to go beyond worshiping in our mind only, but to let it move into our hands, our heart, our mouth, and our knees. And we learn to worship him differently. Maybe for you, you realize that you're struggling to attend worship a lot. It's just easier to have something come up and get in the way, make a renewed commitment just to gather. Because again, he's called us and appointed us to gather. Just make a renewed commitment to that. We're thankful you're here today. We'll be here next week. Just make a renewed commitment to that. Maybe for you, God has allowed you to walk in your own path and you've kind of been given over to your own stubborn ways. I've been there. Man, I've been there. But don't think just because you're getting away with it that somehow God doesn't love you enough to draw you back. So ask him to change what you're sowing so that the harvest and the reaping will be different. Start new and fresh and follow his plan. And then lastly, just declare that God is your provider. You have a need, ask him to provide. Now, I didn't say God's your provider for every want and desire. We all know that's not how it works. But, oh, he provides nourishment. He provides what is needed, and he provides graciously above and beyond that, doesn't he? He's so good to us. So would you be able to do that with me? Here's how we're going to do it. We're going to sing. I'm going to invite the praise team to come back up, and we're going to sing that same song again you just learned, Honey in the Rock, all the way through. This time with a new meaning and understanding from the scripture, from Psalm 81, from Deuteronomy 32, with a new understanding that God is our provider, that there is power in his blood, there is purpose in his plan, that it is sweet to trust in him. And so I want to invite you to sing it with the passion as we sing it to him. I want to invite you, if you've grown weary, today's the day to make a renewed commitment. Come and get on your knees and keep praying and ask him to bring honey from the rock, water from the stone. Ask him to put manna on the ground again for you. If you have grown weary of praying for some distant co-worker, renew it. Today, you may be the change agent that God's going to use to answer that prayer, but ask him to do what only he can do. If you have a need in your life that only God can provide, come and ask him to do it today. If God's calling you to unite with our faith family, are you going to make public your decision to follow Christ? I'll be here. Whatever God is saying, would you respond? And somebody will come and pray with you. And we're going to, listen, lift your voice. I know you're just learning it, but lift your voice as we sing this. Father God, we thank you that Psalm 81 is true. We thank you that we see that. Lord, my prayer is that every person in this room, every last one of us could announce you as our provider. And God, if you're good enough to provide for us, you are surely good enough to provide for that one who's wandering. You're surely good enough to provide for that one who doesn't know you yet. You're surely good enough to provide for that one who has slapped you in the face. But God, you desire that they be back in right relationship with you. So we ask you to move. God, for others that have been struggling with living out some of your truth, that we will come and ask you to move. For others yet still who just are struggling with a life circumstance, a dark moment of our own, that we're not sure how to get through it, we're going to ask you to move. And others still that you might send to be a part of our faith family. God, would you move in power among us now? We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.